Welcome to the Deep Dive. So today, we're going to try and cut through a pretty dense but important document. It's South Africa's draft national youth policy, the NYP for 2020 to 2030.
And this is really the blueprint for the next decade. I mean, it's trying to tackle the country's biggest, most defining challenges.
The big three, right? Poverty, unemployment, and inequality.
Exactly. And you can just feel the urgency in it. You have to remember the context here. This was being drafted when the economy was already shrinking, already in a recession.
So things were already on a knife's edge.
They were. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit. And that just changed everything. The entire planning base shifted, and suddenly health became the absolute number one priority.
And the stakes here are just, they're immense. We're talking about a huge portion of a
Under
population.
37%, yeah. Youth are defined in this policy as anyone aged 14 to 35.
That's a massive amount of untapped human capital.
Huge, but it is untapped, and that's the crisis. The policy really hammers home this one core issue, which is structural youth unemployment.
And the numbers are pretty devastating.
They are. If you look at the quarterly labor force survey data from early 2020, unemployment for youth aged 15 to 24 was at nearly 60%.
60.
Wow. I mean, just think about that for a second. That's almost 6 out of every 10 young people with no job.
That is a chilling statistic. But the document suggests it's more than just a lack of jobs, right? There are other sort of persistent challenges they're trying to solve.
Right, it's a whole system. They're trying to fight the fallout from high school dropout rates, a massive skills mismatch.
A mismatch between what's taught and what the market actually needs.
Exactly, and also poor physical and mental health outcomes. And what's fascinating is how the pandemic clearly shaped this part of the policy.
Oh, how
Well,
sad.
the document explicitly notes that things like mental health and the terrifying rise in gender-based violence and femicide became these amplified priorities they had to incorporate.
So, against that really bleak backdrop, what's the ambition? What's the end goal?
The stated goal is pretty clear: to enhance the capabilities of young people so they can become responsible and, contributing members of society.
And how do they plan to do that? What's the structure?
So the policy is built on 5 core pillars, and they all have this one cross-cutting theme woven throughout:
Which is?
the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or 4IR. Everything is looked at through this lens of adapting South Africa for the huge shift towards automation and the digital economy.
Okay, let's get into those pillars because that's where the action is. What's pillar one?
Pillar one is quality education, skills, and second chances. And this isn't just about access to school.
It's about the quality of it.
Precisely. It's about adapting teacher training for that 4IR future and creating formalized paths for those who left school early to get a critical second chance at completion.
And pillar two must address the biggest crisis jobs. I get the feeling this is where it gets really interesting.
It does. Pillar two is economic transformation and job creation. And the proposals here are, well, they're incredibly bold. They're talking about things like mandatory youth set-asides.
What does that actually mean?
It would mean mandating, for example, that 30% of employment in key sectors like agriculture or tourism must go to youth.
30%.
And the real headline grabber: a proposal for a basic universal income grant for unemployed youth.
Wait, hold on. 30% set asides. I mean, how politically feasible is that? You have to imagine there would be serious pushback from established industries.
And that's the central tension of the whole document. It really acts as an advocacy tool. It's about using the state's power to force the prioritization of youth development. If implemented, that grant and those set asides would fundamentally change the employment landscape.
That's a massive shift. Okay, so moving away from the economy, what about health and social issues?
That's pillar three: physical and mental health promotion. This gets really specific, mandating supports like a dedicated 24/7 confidential toll-free counseling service.
So immediate accessible help.
That's the idea. Then you have pillar four, which is social cohesion and nation building. This requires young people to actively confront issues like systemic racism and promote active citizenship.
And finally, pillar five is about making sure the government can actually deliver on all this.
Exactly. It's about strengthening youth development machinery. Essentially, it's an attempt to professionalize youth work itself, recognizing it as a proper practice, not just something left to ad hoc volunteers.
The document really is a comprehensive blueprint, then, an urgent call to action saying that youth development has to be prioritized if the country is ever going to overcome these challenges.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, The success of this whole thing really hinges on accountability, the policy mandates an integrated youth development strategy, and a monitoring framework.
So they're trying to build in the report card from the start.
Yes, and they're very explicit that success must be measured by long-term outcomes, how beneficiaries' lives may have changed, not just by inputs, like the number of people who signed up for something.
How lives actually changed.
Precisely. And that leaves you with an important question to think about. In complex national policy, how critical is that early stage, rigorous monitoring and evaluation to prevent fragmentation and wasted resources? It's really the difference between a great plan and a successful reality.